Welcome to the FBCLB podcast, where you'll find the preaching of Dave Delaney, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Long Beach. Thanks for listening.
The plan this morning would be clarify a few things about the dedication, instruction for the dedication, and then the dedication itself. And first, let me say this, that we do not believe that there is anything magical about baby dedication. Dedicating your son or your daughter to the Lord does not wash away the sin of that child, nor does it save that child. We do not presume to think that our children, because of what we do here this morning, will be in some way regenerate or perfect. You will not go home with a perfect child this morning. You'll go home with the same child you came in with, hopefully. But it will not be a perfect child. We do not believe that every child who is dedicated to the Lord will automatically go to heaven. We do not dedicate our children to the Lord out of superstition or out of tradition. We do not dedicate our children to the Lord because they are cute children. Although they are, okay? They're very cute. We dedicate our children to the Lord both as parents and as a church because we are committing ourselves to raise, to teach, and to instruct our children in the way of the Lord. The dedication of our children is really a dedication of ourselves. This isn't so much for them as much as it is for us. To dedicate your child to the Lord is not to save them. It's not a statement about their salvation. It is a statement about the way that you will choose to raise them. And while baby dedication is not a command in Scripture, it is certainly symbolic in Scripture over and over. Hannah dedicated Samuel to the Lord. Mary took the baby Jesus to the temple when he was just a few days old, and he was dedicated to the Lord by that elderly saint there. There's nothing supernatural or special in it, except to say that this is the way in which we will raise them. It's much like a wedding band. The wedding band does not make you married, but the wedding band shows that you are married. Baby dedication shows that there is a desire in your heart as mom and dad to raise your son or your daughter in the knowledge, the instruction, and the way in which the Word of God tells us that we should. We also believe that this type of dedication should be done in community with believers who know you personally. Mom and dad, we want you to know that in this room this morning are a host of believers who have been where you are. They know what it's like to see the laundry piling up. They know what it's like to feel that weight of telling your son or daughter to pick up their Legos once again. They know it. Can I get a witness in the room this morning, right? There's a room full of believers who have been where you are. And what we want you to know this morning is you're not alone. The church is given to us by God, man, as first a gift from God for which He purchased with the life of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But the church is also given to us that as we journey through this life, we have like-minded believers who are there with us along our journey. And what we as a church say to you this morning is we are here with you. Man, there's a host of pastors, deacons, Sunday school teachers, junior church workers, nursery workers who are here partnering with you to let you know that you are not in this by yourself. That we are here to help you. So if you have a question, if you have an idea, if you have a frustration, please reach out to one of us so that we can help you along the way. We don't know all the answers, but we know where to get a good cup of coffee. And that just might be the answer you need. We don't know all the answers, but we do know how to enter into prayer with you. I mean, there's some in the room this morning that are a little farther down the road than you, that are a little farther down the road than me. And I don't know about you, but I want to tie into their wisdom and I want to know how they made it, right? The longer I parent, the more aware I am that I have no idea how to be a parent. I remember when they handed me Gabriel for the first time. They wrapped him up in a blanket and they handed him to me and they said, "Here you go, he's yours." And I remember holding this thing and going, "What now? I hold it like a football? I don't know what to shoot it like a, I don't know what to do with this thing, you know?" And I remember holding Gabriel in my hands and he was just this big. And I remember thinking, "I'm in trouble." And he's in a whole lot of trouble, right? Go, what now? I remember a man and I dedicating Gabriel to the Lord. I remember like it was just yesterday. I remember standing in front of a congregation similar to this here at the front and listening to the pastor say something similar to what I'll say to you this morning. I remember thinking, I can't do this. And that's really just the point, isn't it? That in our own strength and in our own might, we can't. But through the help and strength of the Lord, we can. And through confidence in those who the Lord has given to us, man, we can. I remember the first time Amanda and I decided we were going to go out to eat. And then we had to think, oh yeah, we've got Gabriel with us. It wasn't as easy now. Man, life changed as we knew it. I remember forgetting Gabriel in the car as we exited our house and then walked casually into the store. And Amanda going, "Where's Gabriel?" I'm like, "I thought you had him." "Well, where's Gabriel?" "I don't know, I thought you had him." And I remember replying, "He's buckled in his seat. He'll be fine." I had to go back and get him very quickly. I remember when the Lord gave us Ethan. And I remember thinking the same ideas when I was holding Ethan in my hands just this big. I remember thinking, "Why me, Lord?" That's not what I thought. I remember thinking at that point, man, it's one-on-one. Man, before it was a man and I, it was 2-1, and now it's 1-on-1. They have evened the odds in their favor. Man, going out to eat wasn't as easy. I remember the Lord gave us Elena, and we were officially outnumbered. There was 3 of them and 2 of us. We were going to lose every battle. I knew it. I remember holding Elena. She was the smallest of all of our children. I remember being able to hold her in one hand. I remember listening to the doctors tell us that Elena had a heart condition, that she wasn't breathing correctly. I remember sitting in the back of an ambulance going from the hospital where Elena was born to the specialty children's hospital across town. I remember leaving Amanda laying in that hospital bed with her eyes bawling, crying out, saying, "David, what are they doing with my daughter?" I remember telling her, "I don't know." I remember the Lord gave us Jesse. And now it was 2-1 in their favor. And we have lost every battle since. Amanda and I get no choices. It's what the kids want. That's what we end up doing. All 4 of them, given to us by the Lord. All 4 of them a blessing from the Lord. Gabriel's now 16. Jesse's 10 or 8 or 9. I can't ever really remember his age. You take note of those things on your first, and by the time you get to your last, you're just like, "Yeah, he's there. I don't know." I remember when Gabriel came home, we baby-proofed everything. And when Jesse came home, we baby-proofed nothing. They're like, the electricity will do him good. It'll wake him up. Let him play with the outlet. He'll be okay. That's how life has been for these last few years. Busy. Games, activities, schoolwork. Trying to figure out the balance in life. Are you there? But you will never regret spending time with your kids. You will never regret making the most of your children. You have them for a few short moments, and then off they go. I remember someone telling me that when Gabriel was this big. I remember an elderly person in the church coming up to Amanda and I, and they were a sweet couple, and they said, "Cherish Gabriel now, because before you know it, he will be grown and gone." And I remember thinking, that day can't come fast enough. Do you know how many diapers we're going through? I don't want the day when he's grown and gone. I just want the day where the diapers are gone. That's all I want. And now here we are, Gabriel's learning to drive. We're setting a whole new feature and course in our life. That day will be there for you as well. When they grow fast. But children belong to the Lord. This is what the psalmist says. Children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. God stopped me when I read that verse one day, and God reminded me that my first ministry is to the ones who call me dad. My first discipleship program is to Gabriel, Ethan, Lena, and J-Man, affectionately referred to in our family. My first congregation is them. You will never regret putting your children first. You'll never regret making them most important in your life. There'll always be time for extra hours and promotion and work. You get your children for a few brief moments, so make the most of it while you have them. With that in mind, I want to go to this woman. That's an instruction for dedication Sunday. Now the application from the text. I want to go to this Syrophoenician woman, a single lady by all measures that we know in the Scriptures. And yet, even though she was single, she was godly. The single godly parent, and what she did on behalf of her child, and what we as parents should endeavor to do, and also, church, what we endeavor to do this morning. Because we fall in these same lines this morning for you, for me. If you're in the room this morning, and you're a college student, and parenting is the farthest thing from your mind, I want the weight of teaching and training these who come behind us to fall squarely on your shoulders. Man, those of you who have the most freedom, and those who have the most time, man, there should be a teenager, a young adult in the room that you are walking into this saying, "I'll volunteer time to work in the junior church. I'll take my Wednesday evening and commit it to children's hour so that mom and dad can get a break for a few short moments." All of us as a church should be feeling this. Those who stand and teach in positions of ministry, Sunday school classes, or junior church worker, and deacons in the room, pastors in the room, we should all feel the weight of this responsibility. This is the future First Baptist Church. And how committed are we to making sure that we give them a future that is worth having? So a few ideas. Number one, first, you can take notes. I think we have an outline for you so you can jot something down. First, notice the feelings of a godly parent. The feelings of a godly parent. There's an invisible tie between the heart of a parent and the heart of a child. When a child cries, our heart as parents should shed a tear. When our child is hungry, our hearts should feel the pain of that hunger. When our child is rejoicing, our hearts should fill with laughter and with joy. Man, in verse number 25, for a certain woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit, she heard of him and she came and fell at his feet. She felt what her child was feeling. She was moved by the condition that her daughter was in. And she was not just moved in the sense that she was aware, but she was moved in that she was not negligent toward. She was not negligent toward. She was feeling what her daughter felt. She was wrapped up in. She was affected by the condition that her daughter was in. But as parents, we should be affected by the condition of our son or our daughters. I mean, we should be affected at the things that affect them. The things that move them should move us. This is happening in my family. My children are becoming experts at video games and Xbox and PlayStation. And I'm just trying to figure out how to hold the joystick. Do you know what I mean? My kids are like, "Come on, Dad, play us in this video game." It's like 17,000 buttons on it. And they're like, shh, and they're just annihilating me. And I can't even regenerate or respond correctly, right? I'm like, what's the button? My man is like constantly doing this right here, right? Like, Dad, isn't this fun? Look, this is not fun in any way. This is in no way fun, right? I'm glad you're enjoying yourself. He said, well, why do that? Because my boys, man, my kids, they enjoy doing that. I can't tell you how many Lego structures I've built in the last 18 or 16 years, right? It's ridiculous. I absolutely detest building Legos. They're these little tiny things and you can't, my fingers are too fat to get down and build these things, right? And my kids love building Legos. We have thousands, I would say millions of Legos in my house. And they're all just in this huge crate. My kids can craft these unbelievable structures. I'm like, look, it's a ship. And it's like, just like, you know, this, you know. Well, why do it? Because my kids enjoy it. Because my kids want to do that, and I want to be with my kids, and I want them to have joy, and I want them to enjoy it. I can't tell you how many games of really poorly perfected basketball I've watched because my kids like basketball. And not because they do a great job at it, but because they enjoy playing it. So I'll go to every gym and I'll drive hours in distance. Why? Because my kids enjoy playing basketball or volleyball or soccer or football or whatever it is. And I'll enjoy it. Why? Because they are enjoying it. Man, our kids, man, our heart should be wrapped up in. It was Judah who said in front of his brother Joseph, who at that time was the prime minister of Egypt, he said to him, describing the condition that Benjamin was in, he said that if anything should happen to Benjamin, that the gray hair of Judah would go down to the grave. If anything happened to Benjamin, Judah, Benjamin's father, would die because his life was wrapped up, bound up in the life of the lad. Man, his life is bound up in the life of the lad. All that as moms and dads, our hearts should be wrapped up, our lives should be bound up in. Hey, listen, not just to make our kids happy, but that our kids would be whole. Not just that our kids would be successful, but that they might know that they are significant in the eyes of Christ. Listen, if you go through life only making your kids happy, your kids will be miserable. And so will you. And so will everyone around you. It's not just to make them happy, but to make them whole. It's not just to make them successful, but that they might know that they are significant to you, to me, and most importantly, that they are significant to the Lord. To moms and dads, we should routinely, elders, deacons, pastors, we should routinely find ourselves bending down, going face to face with children. Man, not standing over, lording over them, but going down, getting on their level. Why? It lets them know they are important to us. So we're not standing over them as if we are lording over them. We are kneeling down, engaging them face to face, letting them know that they mean something to us. You ever listen to your son or daughter ramble and ramble and ramble about colors and clouds and trees and balloons and everything else that comes to their mind? It's my favorite thing to listen to a child just ramble. Oh, to have the freedom, the joy, the spontaneity to just ramble, right? Man, the feelings of. Man, not just the feeling of a godly parent, but number two, the faith of a godly parent. The faith of a godly parent. Our feelings should drive us to put our faith and trust in the Lord. Notice in verse number 26, and the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him. And the him there is the Lord Jesus Christ. She went to Jesus. In Matthew's account, Matthew chapter 15, Matthew says Jesus would say of this woman, O woman, great is thy faith. Hey, listen, it's never enough to just have faith. We must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not enough to just have faith. We must place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul writing to Timothy reminds Timothy of the godly heritage that he has because of his mother and because of his grandmother. Timothy's mother and grandmother were not just burdened for Timothy, they actually made an impression on Timothy. They weren't just compassionate toward, feeling toward them. They actually formed him, made him. They had faith to raise him in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Typically, by the time we see the impression that we are making on our children, it's too late to change it. I can't tell you how many times my kids will do something and it reminds me of me. And I go, oh, great, they're picking up my bad habits, right? Every time my kids do something good, it reminds me of Amanda. Every time my kids do something bad, it reminds Amanda of me. She goes, you know why they did that? They did that because they're your kid. I'm like, wait, how does it always work out that if it's bad, it's me, if it's good, it's you? And that's why. And she goes, well, judge for yourself. Our kids, from day one, should know that their mom and dad walks with God, talks with God, reads their Bible, spends time praying, serving, loving. They shouldn't hear you, mom and dad, call their name out in prayer. They should hear you say their name aloud. Well, why? Because it builds the faith of your son or daughter. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with fear, he learns to be apprehensive. If a child lives with pity, he learns to feel sorry for himself. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with jealousy, he learns what envy is. If a child lives with shame, he learns what guilt is. If a child lives with encouragement, he knows what it means to be confident. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns what it means to be patient. If a child lives with praise, he learns what it means to be appreciative. If a child lives with acceptance, he learns what it means to be loved. If a child lives with sharing, he learns what it means to be generous. I wonder, what are our children living with? What are our children learning? That's an easy question. Who do you want your child to be? I'm not asking you what you want your child to be. I'm asking you, who do you want your child to be? Because we all want them to be successful or athletic or popular or smart. That's what we want them to be. I'm not asking you what you want them to be. Who do you want them to be? Because long after they're gone from this planet, they will be remembered for who they were, not what they did. When people stand at funerals, they don't recall deeds done. They recall who that person was. He was so loving. She was so kind. She was so good that she was so listening. Who do you want your child to be? Man, number three, the focus of a godly parent. Hey, notice this. She was going to go as far as she needed to go for her daughter. Jesus is trying to hide. Hey, when Jesus is in the house, you cannot hide that Jesus is in the house. Hey, when God's presence is there, you cannot hide that God's presence is there. And that's what's happening here. Jesus is trying to unwind and unplug, and yet she was willing to go as far as she needed to go in order to have the Lord bless her daughter. She was willing to go as far as she needed to go in order that the Lord might bless her daughter. Her focus was on, Lord, bless my daughter. Her focus was not on what others thought about her. Her focus was not on, well, what does this make me look like in front of my friends? Her focus was not on any of those things. Her focus was solely on having the Lord bless her daughter. Hey, listen, if we're a beast at church, but we're absent at home, we've missed the mark. If you're successful at your company, but you don't give your children the time of day, you have missed the mark. Our children are our first priority, and we must focus on helping them find favor with the Lord. Man, number four, man, the fortitude. As she approaches Jesus, look at verse number 27. And Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Ouch. That is not a compliment. I just want you to know that. Jesus just called her a dog. And that's not like, yo, dog, what's up? That's not like that. This is like, you are a dog, a four-legged creature with fleas. In Matthew 15, it's interesting because Matthew's account gives us more information about how she approached Jesus. She approached Jesus, she called him the Son of David, which is a kingly title. She approached him, pronounced his royalty. She even asked him to have mercy on her. Oh, hail, Son of David, have mercy on me. This is the way she walks to Jesus. And then Jesus responds by ignoring her. Jesus responds by saying, it's not meet to give the food to the dog. The food belongs to the children. In Matthew's account, the disciples see the lady coming, and when they do, they try to get rid of her. So imagine as you pulled in the parking lot this morning, our greeters in the parking lot or in the hallway, when they saw you coming, said, sorry, you're a dog, you're not allowed in. I'm guessing you're not going to come back next week if that's what we did to you today. Can you imagine that? Imagine approaching the Lord Jesus Christ the right way. Imagine having a need. Imagine your faith being in the Lord Jesus. Imagine all of this. And as you approach him, he ignores you. And as you approach him, those who are around him push you away from him. Hey, listen, right here, most people would have used this as the crutch for the rest of their life. Saying things like, well, I tried church, but I was offended. Well, I tried church, but they were mean to me. Well, I tried church, but you should have seen how he treated me. Or, man, this pastor said this, or this Sunday school teacher did that, or this deacon did this, and I felt rejected, and I felt looked down on. And most people, when they encounter this moment, would have used it as a crutch for the rest of their life. It's no doubt that this was offensive, and it's no doubt that this hurt. The thing about hurts is they hurt. And the thing about offenses, they offend. But I wonder what she'll do. Will she walk away from Jesus saying, well, I tried, and he said something mean to me? Will she be a victim for the rest of her life? Never to trust authority, never to be faithful to the Lord again, never to want anyone to speak life into her life again? Well, that's not how she does. Look at verse number 8. She doesn't miss a beat. Verse number 8. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord. Yet the dogs are under the table that eat of the children's crumbs. And I love that. Her love for her daughter was so much bigger than any offense that she might receive herself. Her love for her daughter was greater than her love for even herself. Which teaches us this, as parents, our responses have repercussions. Our responses have repercussions. She had every reason to walk away, and yet she did not walk away. Why? Because she decided that she was going to intervene on behalf of her daughter. And had she chosen to walk away, her daughter would have continued to be demon-possessed. How many people have we met who were offended 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and now their kids want nothing to do with church, want nothing to do with the Lord, want nothing to do with God? Mom and dad, your response has repercussions. Your actions carry reactions, and you might be okay enough to go along with it, but that son or daughter continue to be held hostage to the enslavement that is upon them called sin. Hey, listen, here's the idea. In this world, you shall suffer persecution. Jesus said so. Hey, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall have tribulation. Jesus even said this, it is necessary, but that offenses shall come. You can't get this many people together in a room without one of us offending another one of us. Anybody in the room ever been offended by somebody else? They took my seat. Don't they know I always sit in this seat? Man, we're Baptists. We have assigned seats. And most of the time, it's in the back. Well, I'm sorry they took your seat on the back row. There's a seat on the front that's wide open. Nope, this is my seat right here. 37 years I've been sitting in this one seat. And now this person took it. I don't think I'm even coming here anymore. They took my seat. What kind of church is this? Hey, listen, your responses have repercussions, moms and dads, and those repercussions play out in the lives of your children. The offenses you choose to take play out in the lives of your children. And it doesn't matter how much we try to walk that back. It doesn't matter how many times we say to our son or daughter, well, you know, I tried church, but it was his fault or her fault or their fault. I tried to. Churches aren't perfect. Pastors aren't perfect. People aren't perfect. We've said this over and over here at First Baptist. Anyone pretending to be perfect should not be trusted. Stick around long enough, and I will offend you, I promise. I'm going to set the bar really high for you, okay? Stay here long enough, and I won't shake your hand in the hallway, and you'll have a reason to be mad at me. But all I can say to you about that is get in line. Her response is what made the difference. Moms and dads, our response is what makes the difference. It's just all the energy and effort we put. We want them to do this, be that. Man, it's up to you and to me. Last one. I'm running out of time because the balloons are doing this and the babies are getting a little bit louder, right? Last one. The favor of a godly parent. Man, look at verse 29. She responds correctly. And he said to her, for this saying. For what saying? For asking for help? No. For asking for mercy? No. For what saying? For the response. For this saying, for your response. Go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. You know what she's saying? She's saying, this isn't about me. This is about my daughter. She's saying, I have no problem. You call me a dog all you want. I have no problem. I can absorb that offense. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You can call me that all you want. This isn't about me. This is about my daughter, and you're the Lord, and you're the only one that can help her. I need my daughter to be helped. And her daughter found help. Her daughter found favor because of her response. Hey, listen, our children will be affected favorably, or our children will be affected unfavorably by our responses. Do you know the one who endured the greatest offense of them all? His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he came into his own, and his own received him not. The Bible says that he was rich, and yet, for our sakes, he became poor. He made himself of no reputation, but he took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why did Jesus do that? Here's why he did that. For you and for me. And moms and dads, why should we do these things? Not for you and for me, but for them. Man, there was nothing in the cross of Christ that was good for Christ. But what was in the cross of Christ was good for you and for me. And aren't you thankful that he did it? Christ was in a perfect relationship with God, his Father, but he saw us broken in our sin. He left heaven. He came to earth. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He died a cruel death on the cross, and then he raised gloriously from the grave. The Bible says Jesus endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself Which means there were constantly people in his life, they were a contradiction to who he was. Man, you are a dog. And yet Jesus, even though he was not a dog, even though he was the Son of God, was treated like a dog so that you and I could be treated like the sons and daughters of God. If you're here today and you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, man, more than anything, this is what we want for you. You're here with your son or your daughter because they're dedicating your grandson or granddaughter. You're here with your family member. More than what your family member wants you just to be here to celebrate this day, your family member, your son, your daughter, your cousin, your niece, whoever it may be, man, they would want for you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today. But more than anything, that's what they would want. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That includes you, even today. We're going to move this part of our service to our dedication time. And here's how we're going to do this. We've asked our parents to form a line right here. They're going to extend a line back this way with their son or their daughter. We're going to bring them up. Michael will be here at the front, and we're going to bring them up, and one at a time, we're going to introduce them to you. We're going to have, if their son or daughter can, we'll have them stand here on this next to me with mom and dad beside them. We'll get a photo together, and I'll say a prayer. If the son or daughter can't stand, well, then I'll hold the baby, and mom and dad will stand next to me, and we'll have a word of prayer. Then after that, we have their first Bible that we want to give to them. We have some that are blue, like this one. And we have some that are pink. We have none that are purple. Just blue and pink. Boy or girl, that's it. So we're going to give them that. We have a certificate that states the celebration of the day today. That's what this is. It's a celebration of the day, the certificate of dedication that we'll award to them. And we hope to be a blessing to them. Here's what I want to do. Before we do that, this is what I'd like to do. I'd like to just have a word of prayer. Our parents will then make sure all the dresses are nice and neat. The ties are all sharpened up. The boys and girls are awake. That'll give some of you a chance to wake up as well. We'll have someone who does some photographs for us. They'll be standing here in the front. If you're here with your family member and you want to get a photo, by all means, please feel free to just move around and get a photo if you'd like. You're not going to bother us. There's nobody here but us. So we'll be okay. After we've done that, we'll bring them all back up and we'll have them stand across the front. We'll have one big group photo together. We'll have a word of prayer, then we'll go for the day today, okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads and pray. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, you're talking about accepting the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And Pastor, while you were saying that, I felt like the Lord was speaking in my heart. And Pastor, I just, in a moment of honesty, transparency, if I were to die today, I do not know heaven would be my home. I do not know my sins would be forgiven. Pray for me. How many of you would just slip your hand up and let me pray for you? Say, "That's Pastor, that's me. That's me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. There's two or three. How about you, friend? Say, Pastor, that's me. God bless you. Who else? That's me, Pastor. There's four or five. How about you? If you raise your hand, or perhaps maybe you should have, in just a minute, I'm going to ask everyone to stand. And when they do, our pastors are going to be right here at the front on either side. And what I would like for you to do is if you could just step out in the aisleway right there, make your way down here to one of our pastors. Let us take the Word of God and show you from the Word of God how you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt heaven is your home. Would you do that for me? Would you do that for me? In just a minute, when we stand, we do that. You say, Pastor, I don't know. I don't feel comfortable doing that. I understand. I know that can be a nerve-wracking thing. And maybe you can't do that. I'll tell you this, though. Man, I will be standing in the lobby at the end of the service. I would love to meet you and take the Word of God and show you from God's Word how you can know heaven is your home. But would you please determine right now that you will not leave from this place without talking to one of our pastors or myself about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Would you commit that to me? Would you do that for me? Let's all stand together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for today. Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, we do ask. Father, we ask that you would, Father, use your word in our hearts and lives. Father, we ask that we might be men, women, a church, moms, dads, aunts, uncles, friends, brothers, cousins. Father, that all of us, we have this desire to see our boys, girls, sons, and daughters taught, trained, and brought up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord.